way back in 1993, Dark Horse Comics decided to unveil a brand new initiative called Comics Greatest World, where...
No ego problems there.
No, not at all. And in one of those first weekly releases, fans got introduced to a character by the name of Ghost.
Ghost.
Eliza Cameron. A woman caught between two worlds.
Yes.
And the series went on, I forget, like 70-some issues or something like that.
Ghost is one of the CGW series that keeps popping up because...
Yeah, again and again and again.
Yeah, Ghost actually came back in... Well, after CGW went under, it came back as part of the wave of Bad Girl books in 96 or 97. And then the last Ghost series I remember was just a few years ago.
Yeah, just in 2000. Yeah, it was not too long ago. Ghost has been ranked as the 15th sexiest women in comics from Comic Buyer's Guide.
Oh, well,
when she's drawn by, what's his name?
Terry Dodson?
Well, Terry Dodson, but I'm also thinking of the other guy that draws.
Ryan Sook?
No. Ryan Sook's drawn this. I'm talking about way back whenever Ghost first came out.
Back in the back?
Yeah.
Brian
Adam Hughes. Adam Hughes.
No.
Drew her with her guns ablazing on with some of the first issues. Hey, this is Dueling Reviews. I am Steven. That is
Hello.
Matthew. And this week,
Ghost.
We are talking Ghost number one from Dark Horse Comics, but not the 1993 book.
Ghost of Christmas Past.
We are talking about the brand new Ghost from Kelly Sue DeConnick, Chris Sabella, and Ryan Sook on art.
Ryan Sook.
So apparently Eliza Cameron is back, or I don't know how it went. I didn't read the most recent series with her.
I'm not familiar with how it ended.
But we've got two paranormal investigators who have yanked her out from the Great Beyond, yeah. So she's trapped between worlds. And she is tasked with hunting down demons who are inhabiting the bodies of people in Chicago, and many of them placed in high positions in the Chicago government. The mayor is the big bad in this series. And I can't help but notice, Matthew, by the time we get to page, when she rips the first demon out...
Yeah.
Sure looks familiar. I think someone must listen to episodes of Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Of course, this could all just be coincidence, because I don't know if that is a fairly typical motif that you see.
Multi-headed
demon dog with the split. With the split thing.
Well, I thought you were going to talk about the resemblance... between the two backup characters and Sam and Dean Winchester.
Well, and see, that was the other thing. We'll get to those guys in a minute. They're following along in a car. And I'm like, wait a minute, is this the Supernatural guys?
Yeah, because they're in a little car. And it looks to be like a GTO or something. It's not an Impala, but I'm like, hey, now wait a minute.
That's what it felt like. And I was like, I don't know if that's intentional or what. But it sure distracted me throughout the issue. And I've never watched an episode of The Supernatural, but I just know two guys. Now, these guys are not brothers. Right. One of them's an investigator. Another one, I don't know what his dealio is.
One of them, he's a spiky-haired guy.
Yes, one of them is a spiky-haired guy with a boyfriend, or a girlfriend.
I believe that they are both paranormal investigators.
Vaughn Barnes and Tommy Byers.
Gesundheit.
Yes.
Wasn't Tommy Byers one of the characters in The Lone Gunman?
I don't know.
There was Frohickey and Byers. Maybe it was John Byers. Either way, Byers, not a common name.
No, unless you're into ice cream.
Renters, on the other hand.
So, apparently, when you yank these demons out of their living host, the living host is going to die. Unfortunately, the person who died this time recognized Eliza, said her name, and it's got her all freaked out. Now, people who don't know the character Ghost, when she was yanked out of demon world and became that person which walks between two worlds, she didn't come back with all of her memories intact. So she doesn't even know what her own history is. And so in this issue, she is trying to track down who was this guy who recognized me and what is our connection with one another.
Right. And she's trying to figure out, you know, Zagreus lives inside your head. But I actually like that, because I think one of the things that I've never been able to connect to in previous episodes of Ghost is the central character. It seems like when previously I've been reading this, it's been kind of an anthology thing where she falls in, like Rod Serling, falls into someone else's story.
Oh, yeah.
And does stuff. Now, granted, I have not read a lot of Ghost, and I may not have read, you know, the issues that did this previously, but I really like the fact that this is a story specifically about Eliza Dushku, or Cameron. Eliza Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
And how she is now going to be a driving force in her story, whereas previously it kind of felt like she was reactive. She was something that would show up and go, "Hello, I am Ghost. Hello. Hello, we've done the killing. Enough with the killing." But I don't know. And there are some things in here that really place it in modern day.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tommy's girlfriend is apparently a professional blogger. And I'm like, okay, I don't know that I love that. I don't know that I hate that. It's one of those moments that, where is that going? Mm-hmm. Is that an important thing, or is that like a topical reference to keep everything current?
But. Well, so what they're doing, though, is this ties back into, you know, the original series. This is not a reboot or anything like this. So this is covering right. The first 36 issues, or tying yes. back into the first 36 issues of the storyline, because they make references to Dr. October, who was her main nemesis in right. the series. And for some reason, this could be a little spoilery. Uh-oh. I thought Dr. October was Eliza's sister for some reason.
Mm. I don't know. I am not well-versed enough in the Ghost.
Yeah, I'm probably misremembering that. But anyway, so turns out that when the Hardy Boys and Eliza go to this guy's apartment to find out more
about him, the
Venture Brothers, yeah. they discover that also living in the apartment is another demon.
Ooh.
Eliza gives chase, and the demon's ready to make a deal. If you find me another live body that I can jump into and inhabit, I'll tell you what Dr. October and all the bad guys,
fiddle.
All the bad guys are doing in the city of Chicago. I'm kind of sad that it's not the city of Arcadia, but that would have, you know, made it a little bit too different.
Well, I think the Arcadia, I'm not sure about the X relaunch that they've done recently,
mm-hmm.
but I think Arcadia is X's stomping ground right now.
Mm, okay.
And I don't know that they're wanting to, you know, I think one of the problems with CGW was the fact that they tried too hard for interconnectedness.
Well, but that was the whole point. I mean, they were trying to say, okay, look, if Marvel can claim New York City and DC can claim New York City, we can claim Arcadia and the Southwest desert area and Atlanta and all these different places, and characters like X and Barbed Wire and Ghost were all inhabiting that same environment, and they may, and they often did, cross over with one another.
Yeah, and I mean, that was definitely the thing. That was what 1993 was about, quite frankly, was building your own superhero universe. But I'm leery if you're in a situation where, especially these days, where books can go under in the, you know, the drop of a hat,
mm-hmm.
probably, you know, it's probably as volatile or more volatile a market than 1993.
Yeah. So, well, on the plus side, back in 1993, at least the first month's worth of books, that'd be like 4 books a week times 4, 16 books was like only a buck. Now we're paying $2.99, $3.99 an issue.
Well, even then, those buck books were a gimmick, because books were $1.75 in 1993, or 2.25, I think, not long after.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was, you know, that was definitely a selling point for me too. Is that first summer you get a whole, well, I don't want to say a whole story.
Yeah, you pretty much did. I mean, you got introduced to everything.
A bunch of stuff. Yeah, but there were some.
In fact, wait, it was
there
maybe
some
four
stinkers.
Wasn't it 4 months in a row? Because it was like every week. Every yep. week you got a new story from one of the 4 areas.
Right. It was all summer. The first year was all summer.
Yeah.
Where they did 4 stories in Steel Harbor, mm-hmm. or 3 stories in Steel Harbor, 3 in Arcadia, 3 in Golden City, and 3 in The Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what The Matrix was called. It may have been called The Matrix. But I mean, there were some, every one of the cities.
Oh, I'm not saying that they were, I didn't say they were all great.
Dude, if you've ever read Wolfgang.
I did.
Actually,
I read all, I've got all of those.
Pit Bulls.
I bet I can get big money from those now, right?
Well, it depends how many you got and where you're going to recycle them.
I've got them all, and I'm bringing them to your store, and you're going to pay me big bucks because they're from the 90s.
I'm not going to take them.
Everybody wants.
You might go down the road to the recycling center where they will take the paper and form new Pop-Tart wrappers.
What? Dude,
Comics Greatest World sold.
Oh, yeah, to the sold a lot. Yeah, yeah.
500,000 copies to retailers.
Yeah, boy.
There are dozens and dozens of copies of Comics Greatest World in crates and barrels everywhere, you know, lining every comic speculator's home to keep him warm.
We'll see.
This is the thing. Ghost, this issue of Ghost I like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's interesting to see whether or not there's any leftover bias from it, because I remember Ghost being kind of okay. But there are people, and I heard one of my coworkers at the store go, I'm not going to read Ghost because I thought Comics Greatest World was stupid. I'm like, well, dude, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, I think the last time that they had a Ghost series, and I'm trying to look and see, Ghost Omnibus, Ghost in the Smoke and Din, serialized in October 2012. Ghost in the Smoke and Din, a four-issue miniseries written by Kelly Sue DeConnick, art by Phil Noto. I remember picking that up, didn't really pay attention too much to it. She's been writing Ghost since
a couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. And that works, and that's cool, you know?
I like this story. So I think, you know, when you say, is it going to tie back into some of that stuff? I'm certainly from looking at the, you know, the writers that have worked on this, certainly it's going to tie into previous Kelly Sue DeConnick stories, but you know, they make references to past stuff. So there could be the specter. See what I did there of the old Comics Greatest World hanging around. I don't mind that. But what I do want to see is I want to see really great stories. And this so far is intriguing. It feels a little Buffy. It feels a little supernatural. But I think that it works. It's a good story. How is she going to deal with making a deal with a demon, and what are going to be the repercussions of that? I like the story.
And you know, when you're dealing with a demon, sometimes you got to play your golden fiddle and you got to beat the demon. The hook here, the whole, oh wait, these are demons inhabiting people, and maybe there's actual consequences, so her ghostly powers aren't necessarily going to be the be-all, end-all. You know, it gives it some heft. It gives it some real consequence. And I kind of like that. I mean, the design of Ghost, the sexy, is one thing. But when you actually get down to it, I can't necessarily buy a book based on how pretty the main character is. So,
well, and
I'm glad there's some balls behind this story.
Well, and I like Ryan Sook's art, but this is no Terry Dodson Ghost. This is no Adam Hughes Ghost. She's not sexed up and over trolloped and has a seam that runs from, you know, top to bottom to where everything's revealed. She was back in the day. She is rather plain. She's a strong character, a strong figure, the way that she's drawn. But she's not some sexed up, ghost machine.
Yeah. And she has less cleavage, and I seem to recall her having short pants before.
No, she never did. She always had leggings or whatever the thing is, the spandex stuff. But she had a big, that corset that she wears really pushed everything up and forward to the reader's face.
Yeah, and I'm kind of actually okay with that change. I'm really kind of enjoying Sook's, not necessarily redesign, but just the detail that he's put into her little outfit thing with the seams and the bits and the pieces and the big shroud around her that makes her look like she's a dead thing.
Right.
I like the design work in this issue. I like Ryan Sook's art. I like it because it's got that photorealistic bits and pieces to it, but it's not to the point that it looks like a freeze frame photo. It feels like there's some motion and some dynamics to it, to where, you know, it's not Alex Ross. Here's a picture of the professor from Gilligan's Island wearing a Fantastic Four uniform, but it's got some realism to it. And all of the characters have a look, even the two Hardy boys.
Yeah.
You know, they are different facial shape, different height, different hair, different skull. I like that. I like the fact that it's not, you know, one face running around and 15 people with it.
Yeah, I like that too.
it's awesome. I give it a 7.
Oh, yeah. Overall, I mean, this is a good read. If you are looking for a supernatural mystery, then I think Ghost has it for you if you've never been familiar with the character. The very first page tells you everything that you need to know about the character. So it's not like you have to go back and read 48 issues to understand what's going on here. This is a good jump on point. I think this is a solid story. It's got some really spooky demons in it. It's got some action. It's got, you know, some people who like the supernatural show. It's got characters that are reminiscent of that. It's got a lot of Buffy stuff to it that feels very Buffy-like. I like the art. I like the writing. I say it's worth picking up this week from Dark Horse Comics.
I would agree. Definitely, it's something that I think is worth looking into. I'm interested to see where this series goes. I'm not immediately pull list sold, but I am going to pick up issue 2.
Good.
You know, it's something where I'm like, hey, yeah, this has some potential. I want to see where it ends up.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent, excellent. All right, so that is that. Next week. Man, I tell you what.
There's previous, like 12 comics.
Yes, Diamond has been saying, oh, hey, everybody, don't forget, you can go get new comics coming out on Christmas. And then they said, oh, wait a minute, we made a mistake. New comics can be picked up on Christmas Eve. And then Matthew and I looked at the list, and there are literally 12 comics, some of them duplicates of one another. Most of them trade paperbacks. I think the only ones that are...
Get that Origin 2 number 1.
Yeah, that's for all you Wolverine fans. That's Christmas right there.
Maybe that's Origin 1 number 2.
Origin 2 number 1.
Or so total of 3 origins.
Yes. So okay. What you're getting next week, you're getting a Conan trade, a Star Wars trade, Forever Evil number 4, Justice League number 26, Doctor Who Special 2013 number 1, which is kind of cool because you've got that Christmas special coming out the very next day. You've got Saviors number 1 from Image Comics. Marvel has Avengers number 24 now, and then Origin 2 number 1. And then in your miscellaneous, you have Deceiver's Fairy Quest, Robotech Voltron number 1. I think that's from Dynamite Entertainment.
Fairy Quest Robotech?
You know what? This list may get a little bit longer because I could have swore that Archie, maybe they're holding that off a week, that the next issue of Archie, maybe that came out this week.
Afterlife with Archie?
Afterlife with Archie.
Yeah, because there's a Christmas book for you. Ho, 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 baby Jesus. Jughead just ate Veronica. No, bad.
I'm pretty sure that was supposed to come out either last week. I'm pretty sure it was supposed to come out this week or next week. And then some people had pointed out, hey, wait a minute. After issue number 4 or 5, the Afterlife with Archie didn't show listed in the November or December solicitations. I did contact Francesco Francovia, who's the artist on the series, and I said, hey, what's the deal, man? I thought this was supposed to be an ongoing. He goes, yeah, the stories are built up in arcs, and then there's a break in between each one. So they've built in these skip months for Afterlife with Archie, but it is, as long as the issue continues to sell, and it's selling really good, nice. That series will be an ongoing. So instead of looking at one of these 12 issues next week, Matthew and I thought we would invite a couple of the hosts from the Major Spoilers podcast over, and we would do a dueling review of Doctor Who's Christmas Day special. So many people got a kick out of the 50th anniversary special that we did that we thought we'd do another crossover event and get those guys on board.
I don't know. That fat one's kind of loud.
Yeah.
The loud one's kind of fat.
So, yeah, he is. So next week, this is what we're looking at. Of course, we've got Critical Hit coming up this weekend. We've got, I believe, a Wayne's Comics. We've got maybe a couple of Magic Minutes up coming up. And then on Monday night, Tuesday morning, you will get a new Major Spoilers podcast. And then on Thursday next week, on the 26th, you will get your dueling review with Doctor Who and the Major Spoilers crossover, and then, of course, you will have Critical Hit next weekend as well. So that's kind of how we're going to play the holiday season. Holiday falls in the middle of the week, not on a weekend, so we're trying not to interrupt your Major Spoilers podcast feed too much in all of that. So, we got a few more minutes, Matthew. Anything else that crossed your radar? It looks like Paul Rudd is in talks to play Ant-Man.
Ant-Man, I know. I'm shocked. And so is my truck. I kind of don't hate that, just because I watched Wet Hot American Summer again this weekend for about the 150th time.
Yeah.
One of the greatest films in American history, as far as I'm concerned. Should be on the Zach on Film list. No, it's not.
I don't think so.
No, it's not. See, there's a rule of thumb that I have. You know what my rule of thumb is, Stephen?
He who has the most thumbs wins.
I think, what movies do I really love? And I think of them and I write them down, and then I know this is not on the Zach on Film list.
Well, but it's... Maybe it's a film that you love that's actually on the historic registry, then...
Nah, I don't know about that.
Then it would appear on the list, but...
Historically registered.
Leroy's Mom is not going to be reviewed.
Leroy's Mom has got...
Is his mom or... Yeah, his mama, not his grandma.
Leroy's Mama?
Yeah. From Surf Nazis Must Die.
Oh, right. What about Alice's Restaurant?
No, it's not on there either. And I missed it this year because we did not listen to the radio on Thanksgiving Day. And of course, none of our radio stations play it. So
they actually played the movie on MeTV, the local UHF station.
Yeah. It was kind of, did they also play the song?
Oh, they always play the song. I don't listen to the radio anymore.
Oh,
I got one of those little broadcast things where I can play my MP3 player over the car radio so I can listen to the Major Spoilers podcast feeds. And the music that I love.
Can't you just plug your iPod into your radio?
Well, A, don't have an iPod. B, I drive a 1999 Chrysler.
Yeah.
And C, don't have an iPod. All of us, Stephen, adopt technologies before they're dry.
Yeah.
Some of us go, oh, wow, okay.
Yeah,
this iPod thing.
You should check out this new web browser called Chrome, Matthew. It'll rock your world.
I tried Chrome. I hate Chrome. Chrome makes me vomit. There is one time that I will use Chrome, and that's to make my smartphone interact with the website when I have to update from work. Man. That is the only time I'll use Chrome. And that is one of those things where I have to accept the fact that you're an early adapter and that Chrome works really well with the things that we do at Major Spoilers,
yeah,
which, by the way, I love Major Spoilers, and you should too.
Yeah. And so what did you think of this Paul Rudd announcement? I mean, I don't know why everyone's like jumping up and down saying, oh, it's confirmed, because if you read the article, it says he's in early talks to play.
He's in talks. I think that it could be awesome. I think your big problem is going to be the dude bro contingent.
Hey, dude bro.
Who only know him from Anchorman and from all of the dude bro films that he makes. With his dude bros?
Hey, dude bro.
You know the guy.
Yeah. No,
yeah,
I think part of that is popping up because Anchorman 2 opens up.
Oh, and sure.
Doing really well.
Absolutely. There's definitely some cross-pollination and some synergy there, but I wouldn't mind seeing it. But I'm kind of afraid of it in that, you know, granted, I don't know if there's three movies worth of Ant-Man. But, you know, it may be one of those things where we have an Edward Norton. And he does a movie that's pretty good, but then somebody else takes over the role later. I don't know.
Yeah.
Can you see him standing side by side with Morton Downey Jr.?
Sure.
And J.J. Evans?
I can.
And Scarlett Johansson, holy moly, is she warm. Yeah. So the other rumor that's super rumory that I kind of like is Rashida Jones as the Wasp.
Years ago, it was What's-Her-Face from...
Lucy Liu.
Housewives. Eva Longoria.
As the Wasp?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. She's a little long in the tooth for it now, but yeah, I can definitely see
this that. Is when they were first prepping the first Avengers movie.
I would love to see the Wasp, and I would love to see the Wasp played by someone who is a person of you know, color, or a person of, what do you want to call it? I think Rodrigo says POC is the appropriate term, and he's my go-to guy on this, so... I would like to see the Wasp played absolutely straightforward as a badass superheroine, but I think that may be too much to ask for.
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
Seeing the Wasp at all, I think, is going to be unique enough.
I don't know if they will. I don't know if we would see her in the Ant-Man because, you know, the whole gimmick with, oh, one superhero is shrinking. That's his thing. And now we have two superheroes that shrink.
But she has different powers.
I know.
You see.
Yeah, I know.
She can fly with wings.
And she's actually, you know, if you watch the Avengers Earth's Mightiest Hero, You know, mm-hmm. she's actually a Maine principal in that and mm-hmm. does a great job there.
She's a principal for Maine?
No. She's a principal in...
You kids, get back to class over there.
In Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes. Have you seen that?
That's Massachusetts. I have seen a little bit. She has the cute little
mm-hmm.
headpiece that I
like.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm really sort of fine with that. I'd like to see Ant-Man done as Ant-Man, but I feel like Ant-Man and the Wasp has such potential that maybe an Ant-Man / Wasp together movie would be, I don't know, might be more compelling. I don't know.
I don't think we're going to see it in the first movie.
Don't think so?
Well, here's the way it would
work. You know what would be interesting?
This is the way that Hollywood would do it. They would make Hank Pym doing his thing with the Ant-Man, and his girlfriend is in trouble. And at the end,
and she's played by Billy Dee Williams.
And at the end, he has to develop a suit for her so she can also shrink down. And so it's only at the end of the movie. And then that opens up that sequel possibility with the Wasp and Ant-Man. But they're not going to.
That's possible.
Yeah, like that's how Hollywood would do that, though.
Hollywood.
He's in trouble and she has to put on his
suit.
Yeah, or put on the
thing
Pym
is
particle,
we're assuming that he's playing Henry Pym.
Well, he is. It's Hank Pym. They did say that.
But here's the thing.
But they also said that Hank Pym would not be
not the second.
Right.
Eric O'Grady, the snotty, weird kind of tongue-in-cheek Ant-Man,
right.
I think would be awesome for that known Paul Rudd persona that we have.
Well, this one they did say is Hank Pym, but they also said that that Hank Pym does not create Ultron, which threw a lot of people into a tizzy.
Let's hope not, because you know Ultron is a terrible thing.
This may
be the thing that saves Ant-Man from the scrap heap of having slapped his wife once. I'm hoping that this is something that does that, if for no other reason than to get past the fact that Hank Pym slapped his wife once.
Oh, no. I've
said it before.
Some radical group will come forward and say, this man is a wife beater. How can you make a movie out of a character who beats his wife?
Henry Pym in the main Marvel continuity has hit his wife exactly the same number of times as Spider-Man.
Doesn't matter.
It does matter. It does matter.
No, it doesn't, because all it takes is that one group to latch onto thing.
I'm just telling you how it is.
This is some crazy group will do this, and they won't check their facts.
Care about them.
No, probably not. But if they did, that's how they would do it. They would latch onto that one thing.
Maybe. I still think this could save him.
That could be a great movie.
Be something that would make him awesome. I mean, look at what it did for Iron Man.
Yep.
Remember how Iron Man was before that first Iron Man?
Can't tell you that I ever read any Iron Man before the first Iron Man movie.
I can't say you read any Marvel before the Marvel movies.
I read lots of Marvel stuff before the first movies came
out. Sure, you did.
I was all into that Ultimate Spider-Man and the Ultimate Universe.
Okay, that's not Marvel.
Sure it is.
Nope. That's a sub-imprint
right on there.
That's like saying, I love Marvel from Star Comics. Heathcliff is really awesome. No, it doesn't work that way.
I don't know. I read Spider-Man. I saw the Ultimates take on the...
You read a version of Spider-Man.
Yep.
Which is just as real as the version that I read when I was in high school and he was a pig.
Exactly. See?
Not Marvel.
It is Marvel.
Not Marvel.
Yeah, whatever. Go live in your little imaginary world.
Give me my nerdy moment.
Okay.
Oh, you want to play. All right.
Your moment's over. That wraps it up for this installment of the Doodling Review Podcast. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And most of all, thank you for sharing this show with a friend. It's because of you. Yes, you, the listener, who go out and share this show with a friend that keeps it going week after week. If you would, head over to MajorSpoilers.com. Click on that Amazon.com banner. Buy away. A little bit comes our way. And if you'd like to get some bonus stuff, some bonus content, behind-the-scenes stuff, been a little lax in December, but we've got a couple of new character sheets popping up here before the end of the year. You'll want to go and check that out at members.majorspoilers.com. All right, that wraps it up for this installment. We will be back. We got a top five coming up, but we will be back next week to talk Doctor Who. Take care.